Welcome everybody to the next call for Become a Blogger Premium and Blog Mastermind students. My name is Gideon Shelwick and I've got Yaro Starak on the line as well. How's it going, Yaro?
Good, thanks, Gideon. Happy to be here.
Awesome. Before we get started, I'll just give you a few instructions so that you know what's happening for this call if you're new to it. First of all, we're recording this conversation, so if you would like to ask a question, just keep in mind that it will be recorded and that other people will be able to listen to it afterwards or during this call as well. And so you're welcome to use a different name if you don't want to use your own name. We also have a little chat room on our teleconferences page. Now, it's a little bit different to what we had in previous weeks. We're trying out something else just to see how that works. So if you go to entrepreneurs-journey.com/teleconferences, there will be a live chat icon there that you can click on, and that'll open up a new page with the chat room in there, and then we can chat with each other there. The next thing is if you'd like to ask a question, it's very easy. All you've got to do is press the star key and then the 9 key on your keypad for your phone or on your Skype, and that will show us on our side that you want to ask a question, and we'll be able to click on the right button here. You'll get a little message and then you can ask your question and we'll do our best to answer that question for you. That's pretty much all I've got to say. Yaro, unless you've got anything else to add, we can get started.
Only thing, Gideon, is there are a few questions from the forum already built up for those people who can't make this call. So if you find there's a gap, we need to address the people's questions in the forums as well.
All right. Well, if you've got that open already, Yaro, I might flick it over to you when there's an open time.
Okay.
Excellent. All right, let's have a look. So if you've got a question, you can raise your hand by just pressing the star key and then the 9 key, and then we'll be able to see it on our side. So at the moment, I'm not seeing any hands just yet. So, Yaro, I'm wondering whether we may start with a forum question.
Did you switch to lecture mode?
Yes, I did. I'm hoping that I'm on the right mode of lecture mode.
Well, we'll find out in a second. If anyone is having problems raising their hand, just go to the chat room and let us know. The chat room's starting to get a bit more full now. So in the meantime, let me just find out where we're up to in the forum.
I've just noticed a few more people has joined. So if you've just joined the call has been recorded. And if you'd like to ask a question, all you need to do is press the star key and the 9 key on your keypad, and we'll be able to answer it. Yaro is just looking for some questions in the forum. And if there are no questions right now, we'll get into those questions first. And, of course, you're most welcome to ask a question in the chat room as well if you do not feel like asking it in voice. But we do give preference to questions directly asked to us inside this call live. But we will have a look at those as well if there's time.
Okay, I do have the point we're up to in the forum questions last time. So if you want, we can begin with one of those.
I think so, Yaro. I'm not seeing anybody's hands raised just yet, so we might as well go on to that.
Okay. All right. So I'm just continuing where we left off from the last call, in case people are wondering. You can leave questions anytime in this particular thread, and both Gideon and I send out a link when we notify you of the next upcoming teleconference. So if you're a bit shy or you're not going to be able to make one of the times, you're most welcome to do like these people have done and post your question. We only answer these ones on the calls, though, so you usually don't get a response in the forum itself. That's only just that one thread. So that's what Caleb has done. So he's asking, my progress so far. I've been posting about 5 articles per week to my fitness blog, doubleyourgains.com, and have a lot of good pillar content, which I formatted into an ebook and give away as free report to get people to sign up to my newsletter. I'm getting around 200 to 300 unique visitors per day. I just got Stumble the other day and had a couple 2,000 visitor days. That was cool. So I'm only just getting started out. Here are my questions. Number one, is there any way to jump ahead on the 6-month lesson course? I've already got my blog up and running and getting a little bit of traffic, so I need to know what to do now to expand my reach, traffic, results. Okay, Caleb, I'm not sure which program you're talking about, whether it's Blog Mastermind or Become a Blogger Premium, but the answer is still the same for either of these programs, or almost the same anyway. With Become a Blogger Premium, we're only just developing the course as we work with the first group right now. So if that's the program you're on and you want to move ahead, you can send an email to Gideon. And Gideon, you can correct me if I'm wrong here. Send an email to Gideon at support@becomeablogger.com and ask to accelerate your lesson or your video tutorials. Bearing in mind, if you do that, there may be a large gap after you finish those ones before the next one comes. So we try to deliver 2 to 3 videos per week, which gives everyone a nice average pace to run at, which we find works for the majority of people. But if you're extra slow, it's a good idea just to save those videos to work on them when you can. Or if you're like Caleb and you want to go faster, just send an email and we can help you accommodate that. With Blog Mastermind, there's pretty much two options. You either take weekly lessons or you can pay for the entire program up front, where you save yourself 1 month worth of fees, but you do have to pay for the entire course at one payment. So it's a bit more expensive in terms of the upfront cost. And of course, if you do that, though, you get all the materials immediately, every single lesson, so you can go and study whatever you want at any point in time. So if you want to do that, just send an email to support@blogmastermind.com and we can switch you over from the monthly to the one-time payment option. So that's answering question one. Question two, I joined up because of hearing Lee's interview. Okay, so it sounds like you're probably a Blog Mastermind student, and how she achieved such huge growth in only 3 months. I started my blog in July 08. In the same month that she joined my program, and I'm definitely not at 5,000 unique visitors per day, but I really want to be though. So, okay, that wasn't a question. Now question three, I'm going to continue posting great content, creating viral PDF reports to give away, both as bribes and just viral things. And I'd like some advice on networking with people like Lee and anyone else in your mastermind who is in the fitness niche. Okay, so it sounds like you really want to get in touch with Lee for the start, Caleb. So to do that, I mean, she's I've seen her in the forums. She's joined these calls. She may even be on the call right now. I haven't looked at the control panel. But if you see her in the forum, just send a private message to her through that system and just say hello. And I'm sure she'll be open to at least getting to know you, given you both work in the same industry. And this goes for anyone listening to this call. If you see a fellow become a blogger or a Blog Mastermind student that has a synergy with what you're writing about, get in touch with them, because that's one of the best ways to expand your audience by sharing traffic. And that's obviously has to be a give and a take situation. You just don't want to take their traffic. You need to give something back to them. But it's certainly one great way to start the networking, because you have the common ground of being inside one of our programs. So to Caleb, just go contact Lee either through email or PM. I'm sure she'd be open to hearing from you, but I'm not going to say anything more than that, because obviously it's up to Lee to decide whether she does want to make your acquaintance. So to answer the rest of it, you've written, I really want to grow my daily unique visitors email list and overall readership, so I continue to helping people and start sending these people to the products I've created. All right. So in other words, he wants to know how to increase his traffic. And there's a great question. Everyone wants to know the answer to that question. So Caleb, judging by where you're at, and this is a good point to certainly, get some leverage from. You're getting about 200 to 300 visitors a day as an average, and as much as 2,000 when something really awesome happens, like getting stumbled. So that's pretty good. Most bloggers won't get to that stage. So you're definitely showing above average results, and you're obviously meeting a need, and you have a style that people gravitate to and enjoy. So my first advice is just keep doing what you're doing, because that's going to compound and your growth, just because it's not as quick as Lee doesn't mean you're not going to get to the same point as she does, as she has. On top of that, you can always do more. But if you're feeling the workload right now is comfortable, you're getting growth at a steady pace. If you really want to ramp things up, just do more of the same. Release more great information, find more people to do guest article writing with, you know, really promote your free report and get people out there, get a product up and running so you can get affiliates who will start building your list by promoting your product for a commission. All these things can help ramp things up. And to be honest, for me, some of the most significant traffic growth I got was as a result of actually having a product of my own to sell, because that meant affiliates started promoting my free report in the hope of getting a commission. And while, of course, whenever you run an affiliate program, there's a long tail that never make a sale, or maybe they make only one sale as your affiliate, that doesn't mean they're not sending you leads. So they can send you a lot of visitors to your site, and over time that can convert. So having an affiliate program is a fantastic way, but obviously you need to have a product. So I'd work on creating a product. You know, beyond that, just the lessons are going to come to you on the traffic section. They're around about, I think, lesson 10 onwards. You know, do everything you can do there. And if you want to jump ahead with the program, just send me an email, support@blogmastermind.com, and we'll help you out. So that pretty much answers Caleb's question, Gideon. So
very good.
Any calls from the
I just noticed that Barbara said that she tried to raise her hand and it didn't seem to work. So I think I've got something wrong on my side. So I'm going to double check with you, Yara. It's *8 that I've got to press, right, to activate that raising hand feature, right?
Yeah, *8, the lady will tell you what the status is. And the first time you do it, it usually just mutes it. And then the second time it will say it's muted and lecture mode is on, or hand raising is on. So you just have to listen to hear that.
Let's see what happens.
For anyone in the chat room, there's a little group in there. I can see people. So,
okay. So I've just the lady just told me that hand raising is on now. So just give that a go again. If you press *9 on your keypad or on your Skype keypad, you should be able to show up on our system. Unless there's something wrong over here, Yara.
It's never happened before, Gideon. So, I mean, we've had some hiccups with hand raising, but it's never affected everyone. So,
yeah, it would be rather strange. We normally do get questions all the time, so it would be strange if we don't get any questions. But Barbara, if you're in there, you can please try and raise your hand now, and that should come up on our side.
That being said, I'm getting a pretty bad error message on the control panel for the teleconference. So,
okay.
And I'm not sure if you're getting that too, Gideon.
No, I'm not. We may be experiencing some technical problems here that we're not sure how to fix just yet, but we'll figure something out.
I've got plenty of questions in the forum, of course, though, if I can defer to those.
Okay, well, how about you move on to the next question in the forum, Yara, and I'll see if I can make some changes on this side over here.
Okay, yeah, I'm still getting a web control panel error. Okay. On high def conferencing, so that could be related to that. So next question from the forum, and apologies to anyone who's having trouble raising their hand. We'll try and sort that out. So next one, growth in readership. This is from Simon. Simon, I run a blog focusing on the career of IT people. My readership has grown over 6 months from 20 visitors per day to about 200 per day, but I know I can get much more than that with the value of my content. Thing is, all the promotion methods I try are just not bringing in the 500 plus visitors per day I would expect by now. I write great pillar content. I comment on other blogs. I write forum articles. I write e-zine articles. And sometimes Simon feels like giving up. Okay, Simon, I think that situation is very common, and a lot of people hearing this will feel rapport. I've been there myself. Now, I obviously don't know every single technique you're using, but the ones you're listing there, forum articles, e-zine articles, and comments on other blogs as marketing methods, are generally slow. And by the sound of things, getting up to 200 visitors per day would be the kind of result I'd expect if that was all you were doing and you were just doing it sort of on a, you know, a few times a week kind of basis. Now, I did that. And I noticed much more significant growth, though, as soon as I published a guest article on another blog or another blog linked to a great article of my own. And those things only happened because there was a reason for that to happen. So either someone who already had a popular blog started reading my blog, and that could have been because I joined a blog network, because I wrote a post linking to their post, so they started to see me and recognize that I was there and writing good content. Maybe I made an overt connection with them. I emailed them or interviewed them in a podcast or something like that. And that for me was what really, you know, instead of adding 5-10 new readers a day, you get 100, 200, even up to thousands if they're a really, really popular blog. So I can think back to my history where I was around 200 RSS subscribers and about the same with direct visitors to my blog. And all I was doing was writing what I considered to be fantastic content. I was making some comments on some popular blogs and like you're doing, going to forums and participating in forums. And that was pretty much all I did during the first couple of months. But then I managed to get in touch with Darren Rouse from ProBlogger. And I approached him just very casually by saying, hi, love your blog. Noticed you're from Melbourne in Australia. I'm up here in Brisbane. Just want to connect with another fellow Australian blogger and, say hello. And he emailed me back, and we actually ended up having a brief Skype conversation eventually. But what happened after that was Darren actually came and visited my blog. And, you know, obviously this is a little earlier days. It's not as popular to be a blogger. There wasn't that many blogs out there, and certainly not that many good ones. So, Darren, I think, still had time then to go and check every blog that looked kind of interesting. I'm not sure if he has the same time now, but, you know, I want to put that disclaimer out there. But what happened is Darren then went, read my blog, actually read my life story, which all students of my programs will be familiar with that technique. And he really just gravitated to the life story posts that I wrote and really engaged with my content. And because of that, when I wrote a post coming up, like a new article, he linked to it from his blog and also said, this is just another really good Australian blogger. He's got a great story to tell about how he got, you know, success online. And that literally tripled my traffic growth overnight. So I looked at that experience as really the first major spike in traffic I got. And that happened again and again as new events of a similar kind of criteria happened. So briefly, I joined a blog network called the Nine Rules Network. When I joined, they announced my coming into the membership, and that didn't do a lot for me. But what did happen as a result of that was a lot of the other bloggers in the Nine Rules Network then became aware of my blog. A few weeks later, I published a pillar article describing what PageRank is, and another Nine Rules member who had massive traffic, this was a huge blog, linked to my PageRank article. It's the one and only time they've ever linked to a piece of content on my site. But I remember it vividly because they literally doubled my traffic from that one link. And I suddenly saw about 20, 30 other blogs linked to that one article as well, just because of that one big blog linking to it. And that all happened because I got awareness by joining a blog network. So all you have to do is think about techniques to build your traffic that can develop awareness. Well, you can develop awareness in other people's minds of what you do, whether it's by any of those things I mentioned, joining blog networks, contacting directly through email, writing an article about that specific blogger, submitting a guest article directly to them. There's all kinds of opportunities like that if you're willing to go out there and create them and act on them. And those are the kind of events that will compound and spike your traffic a lot quicker than those simpler techniques. I think it's important to keep doing those simpler techniques because they are less effort, and they're not so, one-hit wonder kind of traffic techniques. You keep doing them over time, they will build up. Eventually, you'll stop doing them because you'll have enough traction and momentum. So, Simon, that's the best advice I can give you in terms of raw traffic techniques from my own experience. And I think you'll see that mirrored in a lot of bloggers out there. They've had that kind of growth story. Slow, little spikes here and there help to boost things up from different one-time events. And then that compounds and gets the momentum going. In terms of the whole bit about sometimes you feel like giving up, I definitely refer you to the article. I've sent it out to my newsletter a couple of times on how to remain productive when you feel like giving up. It's probably the most popular article I've written on the blog, certainly in terms of comments. There's almost 200 comments on it now. In fact, maybe more now. And it's just, I've received so much great feedback as a motivational piece when you feel like you feel now, just you feel like giving up. So if you type in how to remain productive when you feel like giving up, that will no doubt find my article, or just go to my blog and look in the article section. You'll find it there. And I know it will give you at least a little mindset shift, hopefully, and help you get over that feeling. Okay, Gideon, that's the next one done. So
very good.
How are we going?
We do have a couple of hands raised now, so I think I must have done something that worked. I think maybe it could be this new chat room software that we're trying out that could be interfering with our conferencing software. I'm not sure, but at least we've got the hands now, so we'll move ahead to the first real question, the first question from a real person.
Okay. Here we go. Hey, those are real people too, you know.
I'm a live person, I mean. Here we go.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good. This is Mike from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I actually had a couple of quick questions about the last video that was sent out. I believe it was number 23 for the Become a Blogger program. And the idea of posting your, your photos and, you know, being able to bring it right into the blog immediately, that's a really good, solid, you know, way of doing it. I didn't know you could even do it that way. I thought you had to go through like your FileZilla or something to get that kind of thing up there. But my quick question was, is it possible to use that same function to add images or photos to like your blog's header or any other part of the blog's facade to kind of customize it? Or
as far as I know, Mike, the answer to that question is no, not to your header or any other footer or other images that relate to your general theme and design. That method that I showed you there is only for images inside your posts or pages. So if you do want to make changes to your header file or your header graphic or footer graphic or any of your other theme-based images, you'll need to get into the actual theme code of your blog. And if you're not if you don't know how to do that, then you know we certainly recommend you get someone who's technically able to figure that out for you. It's not difficult to do once you know how, and we normally recommend. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm definitely not technical, so.
Okay. In that case, I mean we recommend Joel from blogtechguy.com. To help you out with that, at least, if you've got your graphics already, he'd be able to either point you in the right direction or even do that for you. If he can't do it, then, you know, the next step is to hire someone who's an expert at designing themes. And you could go to a place like Elance.com, for example, and submit a project there and ask someone to modify your theme for you to enter your own header graphic for your theme specifically. So that's another way of doing it as well. But as I said, it can get a little bit technical for changing those type of images.
Yeah. Okay. And you said the guy's name is Joel or Joe at, you said blog
yeah, yeah,
tech.
Blogtechguy.com. So it's BLOG. And in TECH, and in Guy, GUY.com.
Okay.
Just send him an email. I'm not sure how proficient he is at theme design or that side of things, but he's certainly very technically able, and he'll be able to point you in the right direction if he can't help you.
Okay, I'll definitely do that. And then just one last quick one. With the with regard to doing the photos and bringing those into each of the posts, and you can do that on either a new post or a new page or any of that, right?
Correct.
Okay. And is it just the photo or could it be clip art as well or, you know, some of the other, you know, web graphics that are out there, or is it just like photos that it'll do that for?
Yeah, sure. You can do it for anything that you can get into either a JPEG format or a PNG format, which is the one that I show inside the videos. There are a few other formats that you can use as well, like a GIF format. As long as you can get your photo or image or graphic or whatever it is, your clip art into that kind of a format, you should be able to display it on your blog, in your post or page.
Okay. And then I noticed a few people had written comments after the video that was posted, and they had mentioned that they couldn't get this word wrap to wrap around those photos. Is that still a problem for people? Or, cause I haven't done mine yet. I'm just wondering, because I've got to use that new 2.7 deal. I can't use the old version of WordPress.
Yeah, that may be dependent on the actual version of WordPress that you have running. To be honest, I haven't had time to have a look at those two comments yet. I've seen them, but I haven't had time to respond yet. So I'll have a look at those as soon as possible, and there'll be an answer there for that.
Okay. Hey, I really appreciate your time, guys. Thanks a lot. Keep on keeping on.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for your questions.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, moving on to the next question. Let me just get rid of this one. And next we have Live Life Today.
Hi, Gideon and Yara. This is Barbara from Perth. Thank you for your for the course and your support. I'm just really new to the Become a Blogger premium course. I'm slowly going through the lessons. I haven't got a blog yet, but I'm sort of in the process of setting everything up. My question is regarding subscription options. I actually surveyed my current email subscribers, you know, for my current business, how they would like to subscribe to my blog. And to my surprise, over 90% of them, and I basically asked over 300 people, they didn't know what RSS is, or they didn't want to subscribe to my blog through RSS. They basically said they want to subscribe by email. So this is the main feature I'm going to have, obviously, on my blog, to have a subscription by email. However, I do want to have a possibility of having the subscribe by RSS as well. So I guess my question is how I can have my email subscribers counted in the Reader FeedBurn account. Is there a way of actually displaying that?
Yes, there is a way. I think Yaros has done this well before. He'd be able to give you a more detailed answer. Yaro, would you like to have a go at this?
Yes, sir. The only way you can get the feed count to include email is if you're using Aweber to collect email.
Yes, that's what I'm going to be using. Yes, I'm going to be using Aweber.
Fantastic. So all you have to do then is when you set up the list, or if you already have the list that collects those emails, there's a function within Aweber called the blog blaster, something like that. The function of that is basically to turn your blog posts from your RSS feeds into email that you can send out on a predetermined basis through Aweber as well. But what you can do is you don't have to send those emails if you don't want to. But what you need to do if you want the counter to include the email subscribers is to actually activate those blog blaster section within Aweber. And then just put your FeedBurner feed into it, because what it does is it looks to your feed to get the content to send those emails out. And when it does that, it also includes the number of people. Aweber looks at the number of people you've got subscribed through your feed as well as your emails. And sorry, let me try that again. FeedBurner looks at the number of people you've got subscribed through email as well as through RSS and adds that to the total. So that's how you can...
Right. So does this mean that they add it up, right? So
Yes, they include everyone who subscribed to that list as well as anyone who subscribed to your RSS feed.
Okay. This is really fantastic. This is what I wanted to know. My other question is really a suggestion. I'm really new to it, and I'm seeing all these fantastic custom subscribe boxes that various people have, including you, Yara, on your blog. As I said, this is a suggestion. Perhaps you could, make a short video to show how to actually make, you know, custom boxes like that, how to include, you know, an image and some text and perhaps a little video like you've got here on your blog, because this is something I'm really having a big problem with.
You know, I'd love to do that, but to be honest, I don't even know how to do that myself. That's something that's so technical that if Gideon tried to teach, if he tried to teach us how to do that, I wouldn't even be able to follow the video to implement it. So it's, and it'd probably be like a 3-hour long video. The problem with that is you're dealing with some complex cascading style sheet stuff, which frankly you don't need to learn unless you're planning on being a designer. So it's just so much more efficient. If you find an opt-in box that you like and you want to use it as is, or you want to take bits of it as inspiration for your own, just get a good designer. I'm using Unique Blog Designs as a service provider now, and they did my current opt-in box. And you just say, I want that, and they'll go and make it for you. You know, you have to get in front of a camera and record your video, but it's just so much easier. It's ridiculous. You know, though, that sort of more high-end technical design stuff is just impossible for us to teach to beginners because it's not a beginner lesson. Simple as that. So,
right. Yeah, I think this is a really good suggestion because I don't really want to learn all this CSS stuff and I'm having, you know, some problems with, you know, if I try to do things like that, I simply don't know how to do so. I better, you know, use some technical people.
Yeah. Don't get too hung up on it though, because, you know, as pretty as my design is, it's not the make or break factor. You know, get yourself a basic rudimentary opt-in box on your blog somewhere in the top of the page, you know, right corner, left corner, whatever it is, and just make it obvious that that's the most important thing. And you can do that without having to get complex design. You know, it can be a heading, a couple of dot points, a name and an email and a submit button, and that's enough to do at least 90% of the work.
Yeah, I would like to have an image because I'm going to be giving out an ebook, you know,
right,
as an incentive.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I mean, you know, if you have the image already, the designer could so easily just put it to the left or the right or something like that.
Right.
And it's not for them, this is easy. This is like 10-minute work. It's ridiculous, you know. That's why it's so much more effective to get them to do it. And, you know, Joel is possibly a person you can call on for this at blogtechguy.com. And obviously uniquebloggedesigns.com. They're a bit more costly, but they could certainly do, you know, a complete new design or some sort of custom work for you. And then there's, of course, those hundreds and thousands of people who are on Elance that will do these little tiny projects where you could just say, copy that guy's opt-in box and put it on my blog. And that will probably cost $20, you know? So.
Right. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much for now. I might raise my hand again when I have more questions, but this is the first time I rang, so I just wish you all the best and thank you for really fantastic support in the course. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thanks, Barbara. Okay, everybody, I think my hand raising might have gone down again, so I'm not seeing any raised hands. So what I might do, I'll just go through that process again. And once I've done that, I'll ask you to try and raise your hand again. So just bear with me for a second.
While you're doing that, Gideon, I can do another question from the forum.
Okay, good idea.
Okay, great. This is from Deborah. Deborah asks, question one, any thoughts on my blog being bilingual? I alternate paragraphs of English and italicized French. And question two, any thoughts on a blog about art? Okay, we'll start with question one. Thoughts on bilingual blogs. There are some plugins that will switch languages just at the click of a button, basically, but they apparently do a terrible job of the translation. So most of the times, I think it's not really worth doing that. I would consider who you're trying to reach with your blog, because in almost all situations, focusing on one group of people with whatever your strongest language is the best choice. English is my strongest language. I should say Canadian is my strongest language. But if, you know, if you're coming from another country and your first language is something Asian or something European or Eastern European, whatever it is, it's almost always smarter to go with whatever your strength is, especially if it's non-English, because most people don't put the effort in to create a great blog in other languages, and you can basically capture an entire market. You have to assume you're targeting markets that have people. So, you know, great example of this. I've got a person from Japan right now who's absolutely hounding me to try and get my blog coaching materials into Japanese so he can sell it in Japan. Now, of course, I'm a bit hesitant because I don't have control over that. But the point there is, if there was a person who was, say, taking my course and knew Japanese and they got proficient at blogging, they don't have to be the best blogger, but if they sat down and they started to teach how to make money from blogging in Japanese and position themselves as the, you know, the Yarrow Starak in Japan, they probably face no competition or very little good competition. And there's a fairly high chance that Japanese people want to learn how to make money blogging. I think last time I checked, actually, Japan has the highest number of blogs per capita of any country because there's some really popular blogging tool there. I don't know what it is, but the point there is that there's markets to be tapped in localized countries and other languages if you're willing to become the specialist in that area. But most people don't seem to want to do that. They always want to target English. But anyway, that's my suggestion there, Deborah. I say go for another language. I wouldn't have alternative. I'd go for one or the other. And question two. Any thoughts on a blog about art? I see a lot that says I should be choosing a subject with products easy to market to monetize. I write about being an artist, and I have 3,000 visits a month now, but I want to make a living from this, and I love what I write about. Okay. If you love your art and you can see a possibility of monetizing that subject, then for sure, go for it. The thing with that is, you know, you have to decide, are you writing about art to sell your own art, which is a possible avenue for monetizing? Are you writing about art to sell other people's art as an affiliate? Are you writing about art to sell a course on how to make money as an artist? There's different purposes behind writing about the subject of art as it ties into making money. So you need to decide where you want to go with it and then focus your energy on that angle. So if you decided that you want to talk about how to make money as an artist, you know, you could then write lots of articles on how people set up websites to sell their art, how they get, you know, shows in museums or art galleries, and that sort of angle. But I don't know where you're coming from. So, you know, if you want to jump on a call and explain that further, we can talk about it some more, or you can do so in the forums. And the last question, question three, the difference and advantages to being hosted by DreamHost and not being hosted. Not sure what you mean by that question. DreamHost is a good host to begin with. I started there with a lot of my first blogs, but my blog quickly outgrew DreamHost as it's a heavily shared service. However, we do recommend people start with DreamHost and or HostGator as a good starting points, and they both have the ability to scale to more dedicated services if you do get bigger. The good thing about that is it's a very low upfront cost. And if you find that the blog you're running is not working or you've changed your subject matter, you're not investing $50 a month on a dedicated server that you don't need. You're only investing $6 or $7 a month. And then if you do find out your blog is working, you just tell them you want to upgrade. So you know, that's the path I suggest you take. Okay, Deborah, I hope that helped. That's it for that one, Gideon.
Cool. We do have a raised hand, and so I think our raising hand function is working again. If you want to ask a question to raise your hand, just press the star key and then the 9 key either on your phone keypad or on the Skype keypad.
So I say we'll go it's working. And, it's just shy people.
Shy people. All right. So, Yara, also, I don't have access to the chat room right now, so I may just ask you to have a look there in case there are anything that we need to attend to. But we'll go ahead and listen to the next question.
Hi, it's Mike again, you guys. Quick question about a WordPress plugin that I was referred to, and I want to know if you guys know anything about it. It's for membership. It's called Wishlist. Have you guys heard of that? Are you familiar with that for memberships for the blogs?
I've heard of membership plugins before. I haven't heard of that particular one just yet. Have you, Yara?
It does sound slightly familiar, but I didn't know it was a membership site. I thought it was like a, I don't know, like a shopping cart or something. Just look, I can quickly look it up.
Okay. Yeah, I've actually got that information from one of these guru kind of guys, and he mentioned, actually he put it in a post of his. It's called, I guess they call it Wishlist, you know, WP Wishlist.
Okay, let me have a look.
Well, Yara has a look at that. Mike, did you have a specific question about that?
Yeah, I'm wondering if you guys hadn't heard of that one, do you know of another one that would be, hopefully there's something out there that's free that you can plug in and use, and that would allow you, you know, once you start cranking in the members to get that thing rolling so you can do some, you know, monetizing and, you know, sell subscriptions, that kind of thing.
Right. I guess, first of all, I need to ask you the question, are you already looking at starting up a membership site using your blog? Because it sounds like you're just starting out with the blogging thing, is that correct?
Yes, just starting out with it. But the thing I'm getting is that offline I do some coaching, and folks are wanting to do a membership. They're approaching me about doing a monthly kind of thing. So I'm figuring the best way to get that going is, and the easiest way would be to, you know, get it rolling with the blog.
Right. Okay. The blog is certainly a very good way of going about it. There are a number of different ways that you can set up a membership type site using a blog. Using a WordPress plugin is one way. It depends a little bit on exactly what you want to use the membership site for exactly. Was this just to provide text type of content, or were you more thinking of doing teleconferences and that sort of thing as well? What exactly did you have in mind?
Exactly. I just had my first teleconference yesterday, and it went pretty well. So it'll be a combination of teleconferences, and I'll also have, hopefully, when I get the technology down packed, I'll have webinars. And then I'll have like different access areas for the memberships to, you know, to go on and look at, you know, some Camtasia videos, and then pull down some, you know, MP3 content as well.
Okay. I mean, I can I guess I can share with you how we're doing it currently with our website. So I'm not sure if that's proprietary information, Yara. Allowed to share that?
Go ahead.
it's worth millions of dollars. Now look, it's actually the way we're doing it is very straightforward. We basically set up a normal blog on a normal domain or in a normal folder on our domain, and then what we do is we'd password protect that wherever that blog is loaded up to. So that whenever you want to get into the blog, you've got to add a username and password. And this will be a global username and password for that blog area then. There are pros and cons with that, of course. The pro is that it's very simple and straightforward to set up. The one major con is that people can't create their own accounts, their own unique accounts to join the membership site. It's not too much of a problem, but it, you know, gives you that huge advantage that it's very simple, and it's almost instant to set up that password functionality. What it does not do is does not take care of any of the payments for, you know, that goes along with it, and so for that you'll need to use something else. Something like PayPal could do it for you with a subscription-based payment system. Or if you want to go more fancy and have an affiliate program as well, you could use something like One Shopping Cart. It can get a little bit complicated. And a simpler option to that also is to use ClickBank in conjunction with your blog. You know, with all of these things, it will require quite a bit of technical skill to be able to set all that up and make sure that it all runs smoothly. So you may need to get some help with that as well, because it's not a trivial exercise to set up a membership site, even just using a simple blog.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I remember coming across another WordPress plugin for running membership sites. It's been a few that have come and gone. WP Member, I believe, does it as well. I was having a look at their page then, but they're not free. They're a bit cheaper than Wishlist, but I don't have any concrete information on whether, you know, which one is better than the other. My understanding with most of these is what happens is they let you have more control over membership levels that WordPress already comes with. So, you know, you can define users as admins or just people who can submit content or just people who can, you know, log in and stay logged into your blog, so they don't have to enter their name and an email every time they leave a comment, and it lets you have more control over that. And usually this plugs into PayPal or something like that as a way to take payments. When I started my very first membership site, which was Blog Mastermind, and even before that when I was testing for different products, I was playing with a member, which is obviously not a WordPress specific plugin, but there is a plugin for a member that lets it work with WordPress. So in fact, I'd almost say that should be your default option, simply because that's what a lot of people are doing right now. They're buying a member, they're getting the plugin specifically for WordPress, using a member as the membership site management system, and then just using WordPress to deliver the content. And those two talk together seamlessly, and that seems to be the default way to go. Incidentally, I have a coaching program. You may have not seen it, but it's in beta at the moment, called Membership Site Mastermind. And I do cover a lot of this sort of decision-making process you go through before you run a membership site, because obviously I've done it several times now, and each time I've done it, I've used a different system, ironically enough, because nothing has ever been perfect. There's always been sort of the reasons why, you know, I got extremely frustrated with certain scripts and tools, and we really tried to simplify. And in fact, Become a Blogger is probably the best example so far of a really simple membership site that we've done. And I think it's the best so far for what we do. Like I said, most people are gravitating, though, towards a member as a tool. So I'd check them out.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your help. And then just one last question. Once I get up and rolling with this blog and really get to cranking them out there and getting the members providing some solid content, I wanted to be able to put that code that you use for a person to be able to click and see what you guys are doing, kind of as an affiliate, because I've seen affiliate little patches on the site of different blogs that I've visited over the last month or so, and you can actually click on that and sign up for your program. I saw one on To Create a Website, I believe, is one of the blogs. A lady named Lisa does a really popular blog, and she's got a little deal over there for you guys, an ad. So is there a, you know?
Okay, so you mean is it just a link that someone clicks on and then it takes them to our page?
It's got a picture of, I think it's Yaro. I think, well, maybe it's Giddy. Well, maybe it's Yaro that's on the picture. But when you go to her blog, you see a little picture of one of you guys is there, right?
How much hair does the picture have?
it's the guy with the Peter Frampton hair from the old days.
Okay. Yeah. That's a new one. Haven't had that one before.
Peter Frampton, right? So, you know, you can go there, and she only has, like, you guys, and she has a HostGator. Those are the only things that she has on her blog, so a person can click on it, and I guess it takes them straight to where you guys are. So,
okay,
did you not know about that, or?
No, I think if it's the same thing that I'm thinking you're describing, and we're very aware of it, in fact, that's one of the methods that we use to promote our courses. If I understand what you're seeing or describing there correctly, it's a little banner, ad that people can place on their websites. And it's most likely one that we designed ourselves, and that we then provided the code through our affiliate program for that person to add to their blog. So all they do, they sign up for an affiliate program, and inside the affiliate area, they can copy the code for that banner and then just paste it into their blog area, and then it'll display there. So when someone then clicks on that affiliate banner of ours on their website, it'll set a cookie on the computer of whoever clicks on that banner. And that's getting a bit complicated here, but essentially then if there's a sale for that program, that, you know, the person who advertised the product will get a portion of the income.
Okay.
That's a long-winded way of explaining it, but it is. I've actually just created a video for ClickBank that goes into that in a little bit more detail. It's a nice video that shows you how the whole affiliate thing works with hop links and all the rest. So you're welcome to check that out. It's on the ClickBank blog, which is just clickbank.com/blog. And one of the videos there in the previous posts will show you how to do that. Well, it'll just explain a bit more about how affiliate marketing works.
And you can join our affiliate program too.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what I want to do. But I want to make sure I'm good and solid before I put you guys up there, because I don't want to let you down, right?
Well, it would be silly to do it now too, since the program is actually closed to new members. So,
okay.
You can promote my other coaching program, Blog Mastermind, but if you were to promote Become a Blogger, it's worth waiting.
Yeah.
But if you can join any time these programs, though, just to have a look around in the back end to see what we give people to promote with. So if you just go to becomeablogger.com/affiliates or blogmastermind.com/affiliates, I'll put those in the chat room. You can join either of those programs or both and just have a look in the background.
Okay. And then when is our next video coming out for the Become a Blogger Premium? When's that one coming out?
Well, it depends on a number of things. One is when you received your last video tutorial and also which one it was.
Yeah, I got number 23 probably, I don't know, maybe four days ago, something like
okay,
that.
Okay, 23. I think the next one should probably turn up in your inbox within the next 3 or 4 days. Normally, the videos come either one or two per week and sometimes three per week. So they're spaced about a week in clusters of a week apart in clusters of one, two, or three.
And now the way you guys have it set up, and I don't want to hog all the time, but the way you guys have it set up, you're dripping the content to us in the membership predicated upon when we joined, you know, the premium Becomer Blogger. It's being
yes.
dripped to us. But, okay.
Yes.
And do we have,
it's
have
like,
a special script for that, or how do you?
We just use Aweber, the autoresponder service for that. So it's the formal part of the course is delivered via email, and that's all just programmed in and that gets taken care of automatically. So it's like a course, you know, you start at one end and it takes you through it systematically. And so depending on when you sign up, you know, we'll decide when you get the lessons.
Okay. Well, you guys just gave me a great deal of information. I actually have Aweber, so I'm going to jump on that. I really appreciate your help and I'll leave it up for the next question. Thanks a lot.
Mike, just before you go, I mean, if you were talking about membership sites before, and a really simple way of setting something like this, like a membership site up for your consultancy services or for your, I can't remember what you mentioned, your mentoring services, is to essentially set up an email autoresponder system for your members and combine that with something like ClickBank. That'll be your most simple membership arrangement, I should say, and for getting a recurring income. So you don't have to actually set up a blog. So you can simply set up a regular newsletter and get people to pay a monthly fee for that. That's another way of doing it.
Okay, just do that right through ClickBank then. Okay.
Yeah, ClickBank or PayPal could work as well.
Okay, you guys are full of information. Listen, I don't know what kind of water you're drinking over there, but it's full of smarts, right? So I appreciate it, you guys. Thanks a lot.
It's Australian water. It's,
yeah.
It's
full of fluoride.
The water's brown up here. Full of fluoride as well.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to the next question. Here we go.
Hi, this is Susan. Can you hear me?
Hi, Susan.
Yeah, great. I have a quick question. First of all, I want to just thank you guys for what you're doing. It's so fabulous. It really helps me a lot because I didn't know where to start at all with getting a blog, and you've done so much to help me. And I have a question. I started a blog. I'm just getting it started. I'm using a WordPress theme by Chris Pearson. And it already had an RSS button on there, but that doesn't work. I guess I have to do something to set that up. I mean, when you hit that button to subscribe, you just get this code.
Yes, that's I'm just hearing my own voice here. Let's just see how we go. You'll most likely need to change some of the code inside your theme of your blog, and because it sounds like a custom theme, you'll need to find wherever that's inside your blog. But I'm not saying that you should do it yourself. Maybe a better way is to find someone like, you know, Joel that we mentioned before from blogtechguy.com to find that for you. It's like a 2-minute job, and it's just a matter of pasting your feed burner feed into the right area inside your theme code or inside your WordPress admin area. So I'd recommend you get someone else just to help you with that little bit, and it should take very quickly to fix that up.
Okay, great. I've noticed that when I've been on some other people's blogs and tried to subscribe, you know, with the little orange RSS button, that I get the same similar kind of thing. So I was just curious as what caused that. And but anyway.
Oh, you mean there's an actual error when you click on other people's blogs as well?
I have had that to happen. If I go to somebody's blog and click, you know, on the RSS subscribe button, I don't get a place to subscribe. And sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. So I'm just thinking maybe there are other people that aren't setting that button up right also.
Yeah, I could throw in something there. I can hear my voice too. What they could be doing is not using a service like FeedBurner. All they're giving you is the raw XML file. So when that happens and you click it in a typical browser, it will just show you the XML, which kind of looks like gobbledygook. It's sort of words wrapped around code. It's not actually an error. That's just needs to be plugged into a feed reader of some kind. So the good thing about burning your feed to FeedBurner, like we recommend all our students do, is if a person just clicks their feed link, they'll just get, you know, a nice option to subscribe through whatever RSS reader they choose to use. If they don't do that, then they have to take the link, which would be like, you know, blogname.com/feed.xml or something like that, copy that link and stick it directly into whether they're using, you know, Google to do their feed reading or maybe, and there's a whole bunch of them now, RSS Owl I used to use a long time ago. What is blog lines? That was is a very popular service. You'd have to manually take that link and plug it into those. That's probably the difference you're seeing.
Oops, I think I've just muted Susan. So let's just try make her active again.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Susan, you're back. I think I muted the wrong person, but
okay.
You can speak now.
Okay, I just I tried to set up FeedBurner. I went through your the video in Become a Blogger to do that, and I made an error somehow. I've got to go back and do it again. But if I get that set up right, then that should solve that problem. Is that right? If I get FeedBurner set up right?
It may do. It depends on how your theme is actually set up. And because you're using a custom theme with its own RSS image, you may need to change or add that FeedBurner feed somewhere else inside your admin area. And it depends on the theme, so I can't tell you exactly where. And for that, you may need someone technical, either that or search for it yourself and test it out and just measure your results. But if you don't want to get frustrated, just get someone a little bit technical and they'll be able to sort it out.
I have been learning a little bit about you know, code and changing some things. I've changed my header you know, graphics. I learned how to do that. And so, I mean, if I might can figure out where to make that change, but I'll look at it. If not, I'll get somebody to help me do that. But
okay. Yeah, and I mean, double-check the process for creating your feed using that video. My video is a little bit outdated in terms of there are a few things that's changed with FeedBurner and Google, but the process and the principles should stay, you know, exactly the same. The principles should stay the same.
It wasn't an error you made. It's an error I made. I'm sure of that.
All right.
So, thank you.
Good. No problem.
And again, thank you both of you so much for what you're doing.
Thanks, Susan.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm just going to mute your line, Susan, because I've lost some control here. I'm not sure what's happening. If you have a question, *9 is the keys to press. I might
I've got one more forum question, Gideon, which I can go to.
Go ahead with it. And just while you do that, Yaro, I'll just refresh things here on my side again. And so in about 20 seconds time, you can try and ask a question again by pressing *9.
Okay. This question is from Marlo. Hi, Yaro and Gideon. Just posting in case I can't make it, but do expect to be there. I think she is, or he is. She is? I don't know. From Townsville. So my question is about how efficiently I can find suitable forums for leaving comments on. I seem to stumble across occasional sites that might seem suitable, but when I try to put in a determined effort, like Googling for my niche group or forum, I don't seem to yield a satisfying crop of results. Also, how many groups should I aim to have bookmarked so that I can respond in the quantity and quality that you recommend? Okay, Marla, with forums specifically, I always suggest that you go with one or two or maximum of three very popular forums. In fact, I usually say one forum. If you can find a really good forum, just focus your energy on that forum alone, because it's better to build one big profile in one forum than spread yourself across multiple sites. To find these forums, I've always done a Google search as a way to do your initial research. Now, all that case is doing is your keyword forum. So knitting forum, gardening forum, tennis forum, whatever it is you blog about or you're looking to find forums about. If you don't find a quality forum as a result of doing that search, and by quality, I mean a forum that has a significant amount of active daily participants. So, every day, lots of new, fresh posts are being made. And what you need to do is usually look at the next category level up. And what I find people will do is they'll do a very specific niche kind of search. So, taking the sport example, you might have a unique sport like lawn bowls, and you do a search for lawn bowls forum. And there just isn't enough people who are actively discussing that subject on a forum to warrant a popular forum. I don't know. I'm just guessing that. I'm pretty sure lawn bowls is popular enough to have some popular forums, but I don't want to guess. So when you find that that isn't the case, there's not a popular forum, what you do is just go up one category. So from lawn bowls, you might jump into sports and just look for a forum on sports. Because what will happen is you'll find that a forum has a breakdown within it. So you've got, the main forum is all about all sports, but then within that forum, there's a tennis forum, a golf forum, a basketball forum, and maybe you'll find a lawn bowls forum, and you can just focus your energy on just that one section in the forum, and also maybe in the general chat area if there is one. And that's what I found has worked for me in almost any niche. So if you just sort of go up top level categories. And on the reverse of that, if you find a forum that's just ridiculously busy and your posts get lost in the shuffle, it's often good to drill down. So if you find that there is a really popular sports forum, but your lawn bowl posts are lost in the shuffle, you may want to find a forum that does focus on lawn bowls if that's enough of critical mass to do that. So the gardening example is constantly used in this. So you'll find there's plenty of large gardening forums, but you may be interested only in growing tomatoes, in which case there's probably a section within there on how to grow vegetables. And then within that, there may be a lot of threads on how to grow tomatoes. So those are the threads you can focus on, or you can start new threads. It's just important to find one really clearly leading forum with a lot of activity. In my market, there's a few. There's the SitePoint forum, which is a tech forum. There's the DigitalPoint forum, another tech forum. There's the Warrior Forum, which is an internet marketing forum. But strange enough, there really isn't a great dedicated blogging forum out there. But what you will do is you'll find that all three of those forums I mentioned have plenty of people talking about blogs. So I can go in there and just reply to those posts or start new posts relating to blogging if I'm using a forum in that way. I'm sure you can hear the crows now, right, Gideon? So,
I can. they definitely want to say something.
Yes. So, Marlo, that should answer your question there. I honestly believe if you have a topic for a blog that obviously you think has enough of an audience online, somewhere out there are communities where people are interacting and discussing that subject, and you just have to use all the tools available to you. Google search, Google blog search for blogs, Technorati for blog searching. Some of the things we mentioned in the roadmap, there's a few unique search engines there that Gideon dug up for people. And it's just a case of using all these tools. And what I find I like to do is actually do some related keyword searches. And I find that a forum will often pop up as the result anyway, because the forum thread is a relevant result, according to Google, for certain search phrases. So if you're in a topic area where they have a very common thing, tennis, how to hit a fast serve might be a common thing to search for. And if you type in how to hit a fast serve in tennis, you'll find that perhaps a forum will pop up, or a thread in a forum somewhere will pop up as one of the results. And that's a great way to find a possible target. And I think I've answered your second question there about how many groups should you aim for. I'd suggest for one really solid one, maybe two, possibly three, if there's nothing really, really big. Because usually one will take up all your time, and that's the best use of your energy. Okay. That's it for that one, Gideon.
Very good. We've got another person asking a question, so here we go.
Hey, boys. This is JJ from Brisbane. How are you?
Good, thanks, JJ.
Good. Hey, I got a quick question for you guys. Now, I like blogging, but I've realized that writing is not my sort of strongest forte. So the question I have is, could I use more of videos for my bloggers than actual writing? And if so, is there sort of the ups and downs of like, what are the cons and advantages of this process, you know, just in the way of using more video than actually writing on my blog to get my message across to my customers?
Very good question, JJ. There are definitely pros and cons with just using video on your blog. I guess my just to give a brief summary answer is that, you know, if you can use both, that's even better. But let's dig into this a bit more. If you're using video on your blog, obviously it's a great communication tool because it brings your blog to life. So when people come and visit your blog, some people, you know, most people are love watching videos. I'm definitely one of those. And so interacting with your blog becomes a lot more fun in that way, especially for those people who love visual stuff. And also, if you have the kind of blog where you have more instructional type things, videos are great. And that's what's become a blogger is essentially the membership site is a blog which shows people instructions on how to do stuff. So it's a great medium for that. The drawback with just using video on your blog is with the trouble with getting your posts listed in the search engines. Of course, with most of the search engines still go on text-based blogs and looking for text inside your posts, inside your blog, and uses that to figure out how to deal with it in the search engines. But that's what I was saying at the beginning. If you can combine your video with your text-based blogs, then you know that can certainly be a very, very good combination. As an aside, you can get some very, very good results if you have – for search engine results, that is, if you have a very, very focused approach with something like YouTube, for example. And so what you do is you create your videos in YouTube and you embed them on your blog. What you might end up then with is, especially if your videos become very popular, is that your actual videos will start getting listed in the search engines and ranking well on the first pages of Google, for example. So of course, Google and YouTube, you know, they're the same thing. They Google owns them. And so, you know, if you get prominent videos turning up in the search engines and you make sure that you always refer back to your blog, you know, that could still give you some great traffic back to your blog, which could minimize the con of not having much text on your blog. That's my quick view on it. Yaro's been, you know, Yaro would probably tell you, look, text is the way to go. And that's well, how he's found success.
No, I mean, his journey. Listen, it's a case not everyone is a person who likes to write, is interested in writing, is a good writer. So, and that hasn't stopped other people from building amazing followings. Just using video. There's some avenues there to establish, you know, even greater audience than using text. I think, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk from Wine Library TV is the best example I can think of an absolutely massive sort of, I guess you can call it a blog because he uses a blog, but it's all video. And, you know, one video every day, the guy is prolific. And that's his sort of his cry for all people to be prolific. So he has to be proof of his own ideas there. And if you're prepared to, you know, get serious about your video production, you got something to say and you can keep saying it every day in an exciting way, you can build a huge following using video. So definitely would encourage that. Ultimately, the best way is use all media you can. That's what I do. I'm podcasts, text, transcripts, videos, everything you can do to get reach as many people as you can will ultimately give you better results.
Great.
Yeah, and Callie Lewis from geekbrief.tv is actually a good example of someone who mostly uses video on her blog. She's got a blog that she runs, and very, very successful following. She's one of the top people being followed on Twitter as well. So, but I think the point is that she's not only just using video to get traffic to her blog. That's a huge part of it, but you know, she's using other things like Twitter as well to drive traffic back to her blog. So you've got to look at a number of things. What's great about video is that it's, people love it. You know, let's just look at YouTube, how successful it is, and all the video sharing websites. So people love it. And then I think if you can go the extra mile and create videos that are just that little bit better than everyone else, and it's got just that little bit better content than everyone else, I think you can do really well.
That's great, guys. Appreciate that.
Awesome. Thanks, JJ.
Thanks, mate.
All right. Right, if there's any more questions, you're welcome to press *9. But we've gone for about an hour and a quarter already. Yara, were there any more questions in the forum that you wanted to answer? Was that the last one as well?
Wrapped it all up. Forum's good. Chat room is good, Gideon. So if there's no one else, you could probably start wrapping us up.
There's one more hand that I'm just seeing here now, so we perhaps we'll take this hand and then we'll close things off after that.
Yes, hi, this is Susan again. I just wanted to ask if you would repeat the person who had the video blog, the person's name and the name of the blog that you just were talking about.
All right. Well, JJ was the person asking the question, and the two blogs that we mentioned was one from Callie Lewis from geekbrief.tv.
Geek, sure, if you can. Brief?
That's right. I'm not sure if you can enter that into the chat room. Excellent. And
okay,
the other one was
Callie Lewis?
That's correct.
Was her name? Okay, great.
And we've listed her address inside the roadmap report as well, so you can if you go through that, there should be a link in there that you can just click on, and that'll take you there as well.
Okay.
And the other person that we mentioned, that Yara mentioned, was Gary Vaynerchuk, and I forget the website for him. Yara, what's
it's Gary G-A-R-Y
mm-hmm.
Vaynerchuk V-A-Y-N-E-R C-H-U-K, and I'll put that in the forum.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. So, by the looks of it, that's all the questions, Yara. So, I guess I'd like to thank you, everybody that's listened in so far. We've had most people stay right until the end, which is very encouraging to see. We'll do this again very soon. Keep an eye on the teleconferences page. We'll list the next teleconference on there so that you can plan for it. And we'll also try and send you an email in advance, give you enough time to make sure that you can make it. And on top of that, we try and have it on at different times as well so that we can cover people right around the globe. Yara, that's everything from me. Was there anything else that you wanted to add?
No, that's it. Interesting. With this new chat room, seeing the location of the people who did join the chat, which is Americans, Australians, and Canadians. So I'm thinking the Europeans are all asleep or something like that. So.
Maybe. Okay, well, as it is custom then, we normally unmute the line and so that everybody can say goodbye. And I'll just click on the link here and then you can say goodbye or whatever you have to say. And then we'll close off.
Thanks, Gideon. Thanks.
It's MJ from Montreal. It's still snowing here. Good night.
Bye. Good night. Bye, folks. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Great appreciation.
Thanks, Yara and Gideon. Mike from Fort Lauderdale.
Great. Is it snowing in Fort Lauderdale?
No, not at all. It's actually quite nice.
I'm coming to visit you.